Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Hello, Deadites. It's Ashley at the Video Nasty Project. We got a good barrel of sickness for you tonight. This one is Living Dead at the Manchester Morgue. This has got everything you want. Cars, chases, the undead. It's got women running around screaming, guys with British names, a lot of English countryside. So, enjoy the preview, and we'll get back to you in a second, and then we'll go into the review. And remember, we bring the sickness with the quickness, and we'll have it for you in a sec.
Anyone about?
Sergeant, Christ and saints are out of fashion. Satan's all the rage these days.
Listen, boy, you keep getting on my nerves, and I'm going to give you another kind of house to look after. One with lots of bars in the windows.
We'd better reinforce that door. Take the lamp.
I can just imagine the sergeant's face when he finds out.
Craig, can you hear me?
Sergeant, they're dead people trying to kill me!
Message for you.
Look, I know it sounds silly, but is it possible? I mean, could a film fail to catch an image for any reason?
Well, a ghost, maybe.
And that was The Living Dead of the Manchester Morgue,
AKA, well, it's really got like a ton of names in this, in the IMDb.
Typically.
Yeah, some of the worst one of the bunch is probably Don't Open the Window. What the fuck was that?
The hell?
Oh, good.
And it's, wait a minute, no, this isn't Italian, this is Spanish, isn't it?
It's Spanish and Italian.
It's Spanish and Italian. So we've got another Spanish-Italian horror movie. Yay!
In England.
In England.
Hey, it's like Fulci meets Franco.
The movie, so we open with George, our, well, he's the hero, but he's really kind of a shitty hero.
Oh, he is.
He's more like Han Solo than...
He's more of a dick.
Han Solo without the charm and really acting ability and really anything other than anything Harrison Ford brings to the role. And so
he's good looking.
Okay, I'll give him that. So George, he closes up his shop for the day because he's this art dealer, and he stuffs a couple of these rare artifacts in a bag and jumps on his motorcycle and starts heading out of town. And right away, the movie obviously has something it wants to say. Like a good Romero movie, it's got a message. And the message is...
Tons of pollution, and the earth is suffering, and we need to stop abusing it.
There's several shots of air pollution, of litter, of gunk in the water,
people
wearing masks on.
And coughing and popping pills. And
Iron Eyes Cody would be crying like a mother right now. So the one weird thing they have in this, so it's all these scenes of like people shuffling about to their doing their daily business. They're going shopping, they're going to work, they're doing all this daily life stuff. And then out of nowhere, this woman whips off her trench coat and runs across the street buck ass naked. But nobody looks up. There's this one dude in the cab. He's reading his newspaper. There's people walking by. They're just looking down.
On the bus and cars
and
stuff.
Nobody notices this good-looking woman without a stitch on. It's like she's not even there.
My take on this is that it's already showing that society is a bunch of zombies. They're all so monofocused on what they're doing that they don't notice this woman running past them naked as a jaybird.
Plus, she's got her hand up like her arm up like this with a peace sign. I'm thinking, so does this represent the Earth, which is trying to get out of the shackles of society? You know, basically tossing aside the city thing and going more for a rural.
It's trying to get the humans' attention, saying, "Hey, Earth is fucked."
Also, the other thing is this mirrors George. George is leaving the city for the country. He's shaking off all this industrial pollution and going out to this, you know, this verdant setting where there's just a cottage and him and nature. So this woman's taking off the most of the vestiges of handmade, you know, fabric and stuff that, you know, it's industry and going, you know, full naked.
So George, he continues motoring out of the city and he stops at a gas station. The woman that's in front of him, that's parked in front of him getting gas, she gets her gas, pays, and then backs into his bike, ruining his wheel. They're like, well, we can fix it, but it's going to take you all weekend. He's like, son of a bitch. Okay, you're driving me to my destination. So him and Edna.
Yeah.
Which is such a English name. Oh, my God.
Edna!
You visualize an older woman or maybe one who's kind of heavy. And when you hear Edna, and yet here's this Edna, and she's got long, flowing red hair. She's cute. She's pretty... life, but you know, she doesn't really fit the name.
And so George and Edna, they're driving off to Manchester, and she's gonna go hook up with her sister, and George is off to go sell some art. And so as their stories are intertwined and they're kind of driving along through the picturesque countryside, they get lost because Edna doesn't know where her sister's house is, and George has never been up here aside from to buy the home, so they're both hideously lost. So they stop at this church to go get instructions and directions, and hey, where am I going? George, he finds these scientist dudes with this big red tractor thing with a kind of swirly thing on the top, and they have this kind of a colander.
Yeah, it looks like an upside down radar dish.
Yeah, a metal detector of some sort or something. And they're radiating the ground, and George is like, hey, what you doing? And he's like, oh, this is like going to kill bugs. This is going to agitate insects' minds so much that they freak out and start attacking each other, and therefore it's a pesticide-free way to deal with pests. Meanwhile, down at the car,
Edna is just standing there minding her business when suddenly this man shows up, and he's obviously dead. And he attacks her, chases her to the car, and she gets in, and he starts, you know, trying to get her out of the car.
And that's the first significant nod the movie gives to Romero, because it's not staged like the Barbara attack scene, but it does feel very thematically like...
Oh, yeah.
The graveyard zombie attacking Barbara.
Yeah,
a woman alone in a car, getting attacked, getting chased. You know, it felt a lot like Romero to me.
And then George shows up again, and then they eventually get into the car and make their way to the sister's house.
So the story follows this investigation until they get back to the church. And that's, we're probably, what, maybe 40 minutes, an hour into the movie? And that's when the zombies start showing up en masse. You take the first 40 or so minutes and you're building this mystery as Edna and George investigate what the hell's going on. But the problem is, A, we already know what the mystery is because we've seen Edna's boyfriend, husband, man get attacked and eaten. Mm-hmm. So we know that root cause. And the name of the movie is The Living Dead of the Manchester Morgue.
Unless you go by one of the other titles. And you, as you mentioned before, there were 1,000 of them. So if they went by Don't Open the Window, then that could pretty much be anything.
All right, even if we take the title off the table, we already saw what happened in the movie.
Yeah, Edna being attacked at the beginning kind of makes people who are savvy about zombie movies go, oh, that guy's eyes are looking a little bloodshot and he looks dead.
So spending 40 minutes on a mystery we already kind of knew is a narrative cul-de-sac. Yeah. I would have worked differently with that.
One thing that was kind of interesting but at the same time also odd to me was that there wasn't a single character that was genuinely sympathetic. Every single person is flawed. Now, on one hand, this is like very plausible and realistic, but on the other hand, you don't really sympathize with the main heroes all that much.
It makes for weak protagonists if you don't get behind them.
Yeah, exactly. George is a dick, and Edna is weak. And
the cop is
an asshole,
raging misogynist.
Even the minor characters, some of them just react in ways like, oh, well, we don't believe you. You know, it's like they just seem so entrenched into whatever the hell it is they're doing that they're not really willing to consider any particular other viewpoint.
Well, that's, again, getting back to all good zombie movies have something to say. And what this movie, I'm assuming, is trying to say is that it's not so much about the zombies. It's about the distrust of authority and distrust of authority figures. You know, from George's perspective, the cops are oppressing him. Hey, man, you know, you're hassling me, man.
And the cops, you know, they hate him because he has long hair and has the beard and stuff in the city and... Mm-hmm. So they treat him like an invader.
Building up the cop as a shit is so satisfying when we get to the ending.
Oh, yeah, the ending.
Yeah.
Which the ending is about as strong, in my mind, as Ben getting shot in Night. Oh. It's out of nowhere, out of the blue. Holy shit, I did not see that coming.
It's let the punishment fit the crime.
And so the bad cop, he's kind of winding down the investigation, and we're like, and at the point of the movie, it's like, well, wait a second, why is the movie not wrapping up? Because everybody's dead, and it's kind of just trailing off, and I felt that was really weird.
And he's a hero. The BBC moves in, and all the press and everything, and oh, no, 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 and then he says, and then the psychologist or whatever says, oh, you're a hero. You know, you're the good guy, and he said, oh, I'm just doing my job, you know, and I'm gonna go back to my hotel room, the same hotel where George and Edna stayed. He's gonna go back there because he's tired.
To the owl,
yes.
And that's when he's in his bedroom, and it's all kind of quiet, and he turns around, and holy shit, there's George!
Zombie George.
rabid, undead George, who extracts his pound of flesh upon the cop, kills the cop, roll in credits.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, whoa, shit, that was good. I like that ending.
One thing about these dead that sets them apart from a lot of others is their use of tools. And I don't mean just as bludgeons, but I mean they actually go about raising each other from the dead, and then they employ instruments to kind of help them.
There's also the sequence in the graveyard where they've pulled up some gravestones and are using them as either bludgeons or door rams.
Yeah, they're hella strong.
That one zombie, he yanks up a not insignificant tombstone and then throws it at the cop, who hits him square in the back and pretty much just blows his legs out.
Yeah.
There's your sympathetic character. Of everybody in the movie, he was the one sympathetic.
Yeah, Craig.
I did like that cop. He was cool.
Yeah, Craig is basically one of the... He's probably the more sympathetic character, all the more sympathetic because the Sarge hates him, calls him lazy, you know, and stuff like that. And it's always the ones you don't expect, the good ones.
The problem, of course, is that he's a tertiary character at best.
And he was also one of the few characters that actually interacted with the dead while they were doing their business. I mean, he fired off a couple of shots. The rest of the cops never got anywhere near them until after the they're all post facto, you know, encounters with the cops. And that's when the sergeant really goes off his shit. He says, those bastards, why'd they burn the bodies? And the psychologist says, have you ever heard of Satanists? And he goes in the whole thing, they gotta be Satanists.
As the psychologist explains, you know, has come up with a hypothesis for Satanists, the detective is looking at the gravestone that was used to battering ram the door down. And you're sitting there looking at, it's a big stone. A single guy could not lift it.
So what did you guys think of the acting?
I thought the acting was typical of the period. I mean, everything was a little more naturalistic. It wasn't as stagey as sometimes is, you know?
The one thing I was impressed with, Italian dubs are really slapdash. What impressed me with this was that it took the time to be an English dub, or an English accent.
Yeah.
That they tried to be from Manchester, from the north, from up north.
Every single character in this is either got an English accent, a Welsh accent, which wasn't very many, or, in the case of the detective, a Scottish accent.
And I thought Craig was English. He's played by an Italian actor.
Yeah.
You know, Craig, the cop who got ambushed and killed. And, I mean, his lip flap, you know, his lip movements and stuff were pretty spot on.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, these people must have really prepared, or maybe they speak English, because a lot of times Italians speak English, they just don't do it in every movie they're in. So they can just mouth the lines phonetically.
If I hadn't known this was Italian made, I wouldn't have known it was dubbed.
Italian and Spanish.
Yeah, it was really solid.
There were some Spanish actors in there.
Yeah, it does not feel like your typical Italian horror movie. It feels very unique and very one of a kind.
I liked that. They did a really good job, particularly with the countryside. All of the cinematography was great. Every single shot was pretty well done.
The movie uses the landscape really well, and it had an interesting color palette. It was very vivid. It was very green, very lush, very vervent. That was a look that we generally don't get with zombie flicks.
Also, what's interesting is they had a bit of a contrast between urban, country, and town. The countryside is open. It's usually sunny, except for the night sequences. It's green. It's growing. It's vibrant. The urban landscapes are all gray and brown and dingy, and the villages a reddish aspect, rust or brick or something like that.
Yeah, kind of almost straddling the line, but not quite.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really interesting touch, especially since towns and villages are straddling the line between urban and country. Also, in terms of the whole rest of the acting, everyone else did a great performance. I mean, admittedly, there's comparatively few characters you genuinely like, Craig being the one notable exception. They all did a good job. They were very believable.
Even some of the tertiary characters, like the doctor and the nurse in the one ward of the hospital, they're dealing with other patients, and Edna's screaming her lungs off because of the dead have entered her room and have got her up. You know, she's strapped down, and so Edna's in a really bad position here. You know, and so even these characters
have personalities and not just there. Because you could see that one doctor just really wants to go. You know, he's like, I got to get out of here. But the nurse tells him, just go back to your job.
Or you go up the hill to the three scientists working on the ultrasound thing that's bringing the dead to life. And George comes running in and starts, you know, freaking out at him. And it's like, you know, what the hell, man? You're going to bring the dead back to life? And you could see them kind of rolling their eyes with the, oh, what the fuck is this guy going on about? Yeah. So even the tertiary and below characters, yeah, they did have a lot of...
Well, like the old character guy in the little church in the River Valley where Edna has to wait for a while. He was a very solid character, even though that was really the only time you ever saw him. It was when he was interacting with George and later with her.
Well, and George is really much a dick anyway. He's abusive to Edna. He's all like, you know, you got me into this, so I'm going to use you to get me out of this.
He does have a somewhat righteous reason at the beginning.
But there's like one early scene where they're in the car together and she lights a cigarette and he basically reaches over and grabs it from her and starts smoking on it. And it's like, dude, seriously?
Meanwhile, Edna is a very passive, very, oh, I'm a woman in the 70s, come help me. So she doesn't do much but whine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she does, oh no. You know, the kind of the almost faint, the fainting spell. She faints really well. And she does a dead face really well, too.
Yeah.
Like a...
And she's really good at screaming.
So we hate the cop, we hate George, and we hate Edna.
We hate everybody.
So pretty much everybody who is a protagonist in this movie are evil pieces of shit.
Oh, yeah. And the one thing I did notice, speaking of being Italian, once you see, like, this one really dark shot... And you see the tombstones and everything. And I thought, oh, that's total Italiano.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cinecittà, you know, all the way is the, you know, in this case.
Oh, the night shots were great. That one scene where it's kind of misty and foggy and you could just kind of see the shapes of the zombies in the background kind of shuffling forward.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was really effective.
And the fog is comes from one direction. So then Edna turns the car around and then the fog comes from the other direction. So she's caught between these two foggy, you know, zombie-infested banks, you know, coming at her.
So the movie is well-constructed on pretty much all fronts. I mean, the sets are great, the shots are great, the mood is great. It's a little flabby in the story at the beginning, if you're not into that.
And I love the Romero-esque music. They use the night of, basically used a version of Night of the Living Dead, the end theme and the beginning theme that.
Oh yeah, a little bit that kind of theremin sound and sort of thing.
Yeah, it's really weird and creepy, and they use it a lot. And they use the stills, the style of stills from the end of Night of the Living Dead at the beginning with the eyes and those cameras.
Oh, and those concentric rings, green rings.
And that must represent the sound waves, you know, going to wake up the dead.
It might be. You know, there's enough skill behind the lens that I wouldn't necessarily discount that theory.
There was one sequence where George and Edna have driven off to go and visit the graveyard, and the music was just really good and was sending tingles down my spine just listening to that. And the lighting for that added to the creepy suspensefulness.
And even though there weren't that many dead... in the thing. I mean, there are only like four or five.
Yeah, it's a very, as far as, it does satisfy the, it has more than one, but not many more past
that. But they use them so well. So you got a good smattering of dead here and there.
Nine, if you count Edna's sister. So nine zombies.
And they get used in the way that you need them to be used. They have to take out everybody in authority or anybody with ability to help.
And the dudes on the hill with the ultrasound just go right back to work next Monday morning, so there's going to be a fresh crop of zombies.
Oh, yeah.
And they moved. They moved to a different spot, too. That's also an important thing.
And I love the fact they leave they just leave the machine going as the credits roll up, you know, past the machine. It's just going and going and going. It's like, oh, yeah.
It's like, sequel! Sadly, it didn't do well enough to... Well, actually, no, that's not true. It got rolled into the zombie franchise. I think this is like Zombie 3 or Zombie 4. But then, so is Anthropophagus, so what the fuck do I know?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I'm definitely happy with this one. I wouldn't mind having a Blu-ray of this, actually, with a really good picture.
So you got anything else left you got to say?
I think I said it pretty much.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right, well, that sounds like a solid win all around.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So was it appropriate to leave Living Dead off the list?
The time it came out, I would have definitely put it on the list. But with everything that came subsequent to that, like Dawn of the Dead and Martin and so on and so forth, The Burning and everything, I'm going to say they probably overdid it a bit.
All right, so not on the list then.
Not on the list.
Not on the list. On the list or not on the list?
Not on the list. For its time, it was a bit gratuitous, but I think that compared to a lot of other movies we've seen, it was quite tame. The violence and gore was...
Nothing really got over the top.
Yeah.
There was just that one scene with the nurse at the very end where she was ripped apart.
Yeah.
That was a little heavy. That was a little extreme.
I would agree that that was probably the most graphic of the gore scenes.
Well,
although the cop getting ripped apart was also
I was
going to
mention him.
So acquitted. Off the list. This one's a pass.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like the flick?
I liked it.
I like the flick. All right. Here, let's back up that thesis a little bit more.
So that was easy.
That was easy. Yeah. Good night, folks.
Good night. I liked the acting. It was solid. All the actors were obviously pros. I mean, there wasn't a false note in the entire thing. I mean, the cops did what they were supposed to do. The action scenes were really well choreographed. You know, when people acted scared, they really looked it, especially the sister. Of the lead female protagonist. I mean, she looked like a junkie. She had the eyes and the hair, and the one bit where the police sergeant finds the heroin and stuff and points it at her, and her hair's down in front of her face, and it's like, oh, God.
It was a slower burn. It takes you 40 minutes before you actually get to zombie actions, so up to that point, it was all this investigative stuff.
I mean, it's a slow burn by our standards, but in the 70s, people liked the buildup.
So, you liked it, I dug it.
Pretty satisfying overall. I would say this is a keeper. If I wanted to watch it again, it would probably be, you know, yeah.
Yeah, this would be a movie I'd probably enjoy watching every 3 or 4 years.
Outside of Romero and Fulci, I think this is one of the better zombie flicks.
And it has some really good music, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right, we dug it all around.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay. Well, gang, that was The Living Dead at the Manchester Morgue. That was real sick. So, next week we're going to come back with Night School. It gives you what you want. So remember, it's going to be the three R's. Ribald, risque, and rubber? We'll find out. So, if you like what you saw, email us at thevideonastyproject@gmail.com. We'll see you next week. And remember, stay evil!
You! You're the ones who are crazy, not me, you bloody idiot!